on, everybody? Worst Friends Podcast. My name is Tim, and I'm going to be joined today by a special guest. His name's Colin. He's the guest of every other Worst Friends. He's not even actually a guest. He's a co-host. And today, Colin and I are just going to basically run down things that we're looking forward to, movies, TV shows. I have a live event I'm looking forward to, all that sort of thing. Basically, nothing exciting happened to us recently, so we don't have anything to talk about. That's a pretty accurate statement, wouldn't you say?
I guess so. I mean, I'm going to touch on something kind of early on, but yeah, it's, you know, it's been cold.
Yeah.
It's been real cold.
Yeah, kind
of. You know, it's just been snowing. A lot of shows, you know, like we're kind of in a weird, awkward stage where, at least as far as the dramas are concerned, like there's not a lot of shows we're really hanging on. You know, it's just, you know, it's kind of that time where you just sit huddled up in your house and, you know, just contemplate what the hell's going on in your life.
Pretty much. Oh, you definitely don't want to drive anywhere.
No.
You get home at night and then a few hours later you start getting hit with some snow. And, well, I guess we haven't had a ton of snow, but...
We have down here for some reason. But yeah, you have to maximize your trips. You know, like earlier this week, I had a pipe freeze and blow at my house.
Yeah, I was going to say that you did have something exciting happen to you.
I guess I did have something exciting happen. It could have been a lot worse than what it was. It like wasn't the main water line or anything. It was just like a line that was just kind of running on the outside of the house into a spigot in the garage. And I found that some people, it's spigot, right?
Yep.
I've heard a couple other people call it a spricket.
Actually, I think spigot. S-P-I-G-O-T.
Okay. But anyway, that blew. Like, I noticed it when I came home for lunch, and I went back to work like to kind of gather my stuff up because I needed to like find a plumber to figure it out.
Right.
But I also was like, I wanted to get groceries at some point that day or within the next day. But I knew like we were getting a lot of snow and it was just kind of crappy and cold out and I didn't want to have to go out anywhere else. I'm like, well, if this whole water situation is bad, I'm going to need to get like a couple jugs of water. And so instead of like rushing back home to call a plumber, I'm like, I'll go to Kroger too.
Right.
Get some water, get some groceries. Just because once I get home to take care of this, I don't want to have to step outside for the rest of the night. So.
Yep. Yeah, it sucks, dude. But, anyways, if you don't mind, I'm going to go ahead and throw a slap and tickle out here. Just a quick one, really quick. That is to Timothy Oliphant. I'm not sure, but...
Oliphant.
He's an actor, obviously.
Yep.
And he recently did a voice on Archer. And I saw his name at the very end of the credits, and I saw, like, special guests. But while I was watching, I didn't really... even think about it. Well, then I watched it again last night because it's DVR'd, and I recognized him, and he had like a huge role in it. He was like this former he's Archer's old best friend.
Okay.
And he's a former agent that went to a different organization, so Archer's mom, Lucille Bluth, you know, thinks he's a traitor and hates him, and they all think he dies, and Archer doesn't believe it, so he's going up there, and it turns out he didn't. He framed like people's Archer thought he had been framed with murder and stuff, but he really did murder a bunch of people and was like a horrible person. Yeah. And then it's all part of his plan, though, because he's in love with Archer, and it was the only way he could get him up there and they could start their life together running a bed and breakfast. And so it was just, it cracked me up. And then, of course, you know, I've been watching Justified, and it's kind of strange. A month ago, if someone would have told me that I would be giving a slap and tickle to Timothy Oliphant, I would have disagreed because I would have said I don't really like him. But strange world we live in.
These are some new things that have just come up recently, haven't they? You watching Justified and Archer. Mm-hmm. You know, like this wasn't really... This has been kind of spontaneous.
Yeah, and I like them both, so... Good times.
That's cool. I mean, I don't think I'm going to watch either of them. But at the same time, I feel like I need to give them both, you know, respect for what it is that they're doing. It's just hard. Do you know what season is Justified in? Is this the third or the fourth?
Third.
Did it just started the third? Okay.
Yep, there's been three episodes, I think.
Okay, you know, once they really get going along, you just have to, like with Breaking Bad, I've accepted, okay, I'm going to watch all of those. You know, mm-hmm. I know, like, the consensus is it is really good. I can feel comfortable putting in the time to go back and watch all of them. But it seems like there's a lot of shows like Justified that are kind of teetering on the edge of, oh, you know, I've heard it's pretty good. Do I watch it? And then when it comes to cartoons, I think if there's a chance I watch one of those two, I'd maybe watch Archer, because I think
right.
You could step into each episode individually and appreciate it.
Yeah, that's the thing with something like that.
Right. But that's cool. Yeah, I like him. I liked him way back when he was the, you know, Stringer Alert. He was one of the killers in Scream 2.
Okay.
And yeah. That's the first time I remember him popping up. Just because I remember him in the college class where, and of course, I was never lucky enough to take this class where you spend a whole class period talking about movie sequels. But it was Timothy Oliphant and Jamie Kennedy arguing over, you know, good sequels. You know, and they bring up The Godfather, Empire Strikes Back. I'm like, that is an awesome class. And then he kind of, you know, you end up being crazy and one of the killers. And I've, you know, appreciated him. Do you feel like he's almost hindered by the options that he has with his hair?
I don't know. I don't like him when he does the short hair stuff, dude.
He only has, like, that slicked back hair look, right?
What was the hair he had in, what was the last one? Live Free or Die Hard? What was his hair in that one?
Okay, you're right. I guess that was a really short cropped. I'm thinking, just because I just saw Gone in 60 Seconds, and he's in that kind of small, you know, he's just one of the cops trying mm-hmm. to chase down Nick Cage. Are you kidding me? No one's going to chase down Nick Cage.
Right.
But he had the slicked back hair. Scream 2, he had the slicked back hair. I like that movie Go. I guess it's not all the way slicked back. It slicks back to a point, and then it just sticks up. Kind of like a dinosaur, like a triceratops. You know how their front skull, yeah. Those bones just kind of shoot back and then spike out. That movie Go. What else was he in? A Girl Next Door. Remember, well, he plays like that porn producer.
Yeah, what about, isn't he in that movie Hitman, and isn't he bald?
Okay, well, there you go. That's a good point. Not a successful or critically acclaimed movie. That's why I'm bringing it up. I think he's really handicapped by his hair.
Okay, like if he can't have some big flashy slick back form of hair, he's not as good.
That's what I think ultimately happened to that guy that was Eddie Burns' brother in She's the One. You've seen him recently in those Geico commercials. Remember, like he has that slick back hair and he's doing like that public service announcement voice.
Yeah.
I can't remember his name. But he can't do anything else but that hairstyle, and I think that really limits you after a while.
That's probably a pretty valid point, actually.
Yeah.
That's interesting. I hope someone looks into it some more.
Yeah, well, you know, I'm sure we have a lot of friends out there listening that'll do some research.
All right, so did you have Slap and Tickles, or are you just kind of winging it until we get to the meat and taters?
No, I think I guess I'm in a positive mood. I really only have about maybe like three Slap and Tickles. One is to, and I know they got a Steve Young stare a couple months ago, but that's the Netflix. I stared at him with the, you know, the Death Ray of 100 Suns a couple months ago because they took Treme off of there. Like right when I was like, okay, I'm going to start watching Treme. I'm going to watch it. I had the newest season DVR'd. Netflix had like the first two or first three. I'm like, okay, I'm going to sit down. I'm going to start watching it. All of a sudden they're gone.
Yep.
But you want to know what they just recently added? And I've already picked this to be the song that I sing at the end of the show. But maybe let me sing the song and see if you recognize it. Uh-oh, now I'm drawing a blank. Wait, let me think about it.
Is that West Wing?
Oh, yeah. They got all the West Wings on there now, Tim.
Nice.
I just stumbled upon this maybe last weekend, and I had a lot of stuff going on last weekend. I was like, West Wing is on. And on DVDs, I had the first two seasons. and I think we've discussed this before. I mean, I watched them all way back when they first all aired. But so it was just great last night. Plopped down. It's one of those shows where it's just dramatic enough that it can keep your it can keep your wife kind of interested, paying attention. But at the same time, some of the dialogue just really goes so fast where it kind of makes her just tune out and get on Pinterest on her phone. So you're not necessarily neglecting her.
Right.
You can involve her, but you don't really care if she understands what's going on.
Okay.
So rocked out like two episodes last night. You know, going to try and plug away with two more. You know, that's a show you can just sit down. Rob Lowe, not to say he doesn't look beautiful now, you know, Rob Lowe's looking beautiful. She recognized our boy Richard Schiff, who she saw in person, you know, Glengarry Glenn Ross. I'm like, Toby, I'm like, it's her boy, it's Toby. She's like, oh, yeah.
Nice.
You know, and she recognizes, isn't that the bad guy from Billy Madison? And I'm like,
yeah.
Shut up. You know, he's in it. And then, of course, she doesn't even know. I don't think she could really name a movie off the top of her head that Martin Sheen has been in, but he automatically commands the respect that Martin, you know, like right away. She's like, well, who's the president? I'm like, Marty Sheen, honey. And as soon as he comes, you know, on screen, it's, you know, she respects him right off the bat.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, and Rizzo. She was kind of thrown off that the president's wife is Rizzo from Greece. But,
yeah,
you know, no one's perfect.
All right.
So, yeah, you got another one?
Well, that's good of Netflix to do that to you. Give that to you.
And, you know, if they yank him right before the Jimmy Smith's presidency, I'm cool.
Plus, right, you've seen them all, too. This next one is to my friend Doug, who lives here in town where I live. And I just found out about this maybe an hour ago. My roommate's a huge Michigan State fan, and then one of his good friends was over watching the State game, and we started it late because we were gone, so we had a DVR'd. And then we were just kind of talking afterwards, and somehow wrestling got brought up, professional wrestling. So, of course, you know, Hulk Hogan / Hollywood Hogan, he got brought up because, you know, whenever people who have watched wrestling talk about it, at some point, Hulk Hogan's coming up, you know.
I love how you did the / Hollywood Hogan. Like, I'd completely forgotten about that.
Well, dude, that was the best incarnation of Hulkster in my eyes. But anyways, this guy who was over, he was talking about back in the day, him and a bunch of friends were watching Hollywood Hogan fight Goldberg, who, I don't know what your whole theory is on Goldberg, but if you were like me and you grew up watching wrestling and stuff, if you were really a respectable fan, you did not want Goldberg to beat Hogan. I'm sorry, but, okay, you know, it was like through thick and thin, I was going to be with Hulk, the Hulkster, a.k.a. Hollywood.
Yep.
Well, at some point during this, in this guy I'm giving the slap and tickle to, Doug was over there watching it. At some point during the match, I don't know how it ended or anything, but Hogan hit Goldberg with the big leg drop, you know, his finishing move. And we need to use our parental advisory, you know, sticker right here, because there's going to be some adult language here. After that, Doug, who is like my age, so a Hogan guy, he stood up and screamed, if he ain't fucking decapitated, I ain't never watching wrestling again. So since that was probably one of the funniest things I've ever heard in my life, I had to just kind of write that one in at the last second.
Okay. The only thing, and I'll full disclosure, a lot of my friends watched wrestling when we were younger. Namely, our friend Eric T. Huge wrestling fan, you know, watched it every. So what was the main night? Was it always Monday night?
Monday Night Raw or Monday Nitro.
Right. Okay. And a couple times I would tune in. And I remember, like, this is really the only thing, like, if you were to ask me, you know, about pro wrestling, kind of my slap in the face or my just my smart ass kind of remark is to always go, Stone Cold? What's Stone Cold doing here? Stone Cold's here. Because for whatever reason, whenever I would tune in, the announcers had absolutely no idea that Stone Cold would be showing up. But Stone Cold would always show up. And when he showed up, the announcers were always so distraught.
Oh, it was Jerry the King Lawler. Always... he didn't like when Stone Cold was coming around. Yeah, because Lawler was the token announcer who always had to root for the bad guys. You know what I mean? There's always the straight shooter play-by-play guy, JR, and then the color commentator who's like always rooting for the bad guys.
Is that the King Lawler?
Yeah.
That Andy Kaufman wrestled?
Yep.
Okay. But that's the only I just always remember, and I would always just give my friends crap. Like, did you watch Raw last night? I was like, yeah, I did. I'm like, what's Stone Cold doing here? Stone Cold. Because Stone Cold always come out. What was the song that he always came out to?
Oh, it was just The Glass Was Shattered, and it's like, boom, 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 boom. He'd come out flipping everybody off, slamming beers.
So, my whole understanding of wrestling was that no one could understand what Stone Cold was doing there when he showed up, so.
Well, it was, like I said, it was more about that quote.
because that
is usually what would happen when Hulk Hogan dropped the leg drop on guys. They were basically decapitated.
Decapitated. Okay. So. This next one I want to go through really quick because I want to spend a little bit more time on the third one. And then we can go into, or you know, whatever you got. Right. But just to the Caribbean jerk flavor at Buffalo Wild Wings. Mm-mm.
Big
you know?
Fan?
Oh, yeah. It's always been hard for me to settle on...
I also really quick, go I to, find it interesting that you said Caribbean instead of Caribbean. But, carry on.
Pirates of the Caribbean. What did I say, Caribbean or Caribbean?
You said Caribbean. I always say Caribbean, but... All right, sorry to derail you, dude.
No, that's okay. Normally, if I go to B-dubs and I'm in a wings mood, I'll usually, you know, just do a straight up, you know, 12 wings, six of this, six of that. Mm-hmm. Usually, I always get a medium, you know, just to have a pretty straightforward, you know, generic. And then I've always kind of flip-flopped a little bit. I think for the longest time, I was on a garlic parmesan.
Yep, those are good.
And then, but I think most recently, I've kind of started drifting towards the Caribbean jerk.
Okay. Yeah.
And it was just delicious. We went there yesterday, and I had some leftovers. So.
Surprisingly, B-Dub's wings, if there's a lot of sauce on them, they're good leftover too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and there were these were caked. These were caked in sauce. So, had a couple leftovers. You know, kind of threw the bones at the side. One of my dogs licked one of the bones and did one of them like sneezing fits.
Right.
You know, like it was a little too spicy and just started sneezing her ass off. So she learned her lesson. But, you know, I think that's going to be my – so now I kind of know for my 12, when I go in to get 12 wings, it's going to be, you know, six medium, six Caribbean jerk.
That's a big step. It'll be interesting to hear maybe down the road if it changes too. Or maybe you'll ditch the medium. Who knows?
I mean, if there was a good... Because the medium's still kind of on the lower end of the spicy spectrum. Mm-hmm. Like, I'd almost like medium to be, like, right in the middle of their list, you know? When you look at their kind of list there. I'd almost like the medium to be a little bit more spicy. Because I can handle... Because the Caribbean jerk is actually pretty high on there.
Right.
You know, spice-o-meter. But I actually think it's you know, it's doable. Right. It's not that spicy. I'd almost like something that makes me sweat a little bit more, but so, you know, thumbs up to them.
Alright, well I have one more slap and tickle, and this has actually kind of evolved into a Merv. It started out just a slap and tickle to Dominic Monaghan, not sure, do you know who that is?
He's one of the Hobbits, right?
Yeah, he's Merry, I believe, the one with the bigger nose that was on Lost too.
Well, then he was on Lost,
yep. Well, like I said, I was watching that show Ripper Street on BBC. I DVR'd the first two episodes. I've only watched the first one. But there was a commercial on during it for a new show with Dominic Monaghan as the host. And I don't know, he's like playing with animals or something, but it was basically about him getting his own show. So I kind of realized I didn't care enough to really do any research on it. So, like I said, watching that Ripper Street, I told you that the main guy was kind of a poor man's Clive Owen. And then I saw him without his hat, and I said he's a very, very poor man's Clive Owen. Which, of course, led to us talking about Clive Owen. And, you know, so I'm just kind of asking him, what are you doing? Because, dude, he's not doing anything. He, like you said, he did the Hemingway and Gellhorn or whatever it was called. But that was... No one wants to see that Clive Owen, dude.
No, and he's not reprising his role in the new Sin City
movie. Dude, that's messed up.
Why wouldn't... Like, why wouldn't he? It's not like he's... Because I think now they have, like, Josh Brolin playing his part. And I'm like, okay, you know, yeah, I'm cool with Josh Brolin, you know, I like him. I don't think that his star power is now at the point where he can... Like, the people behind that movie can be like, oh, if we can get Josh instead of Clive, let's do it. You know?
No.
Clive still carries a lot of weight with me.
He doesn't have a British accent.
Right. So what? Do we think he's... Like, is he pissing people off? Have we done any research?
No, but
into
we
why
should.
Clive Owen?
We might have to start a Clive Owen report, dude. This is kind of messed up.
I mean, I've never heard... You kind of hear about, you know, certain people, you know, kind of...
Yeah.
Piss you off.
When Lindsay Lohan is acting like a moron on set, you hear about it. When Christian Bale bitches at the lighting guy, you hear about it. I haven't heard anything like that with Clive Owen. I mean, it's probably possible he's a raging alcoholic.
And he doesn't hate the Jewish people, does he?
No.
See, right now, if you go to his Wikipedia and it goes through his filmography, it still has him listed in the new Sin City, but on IMDb, he's not. Josh Brolin is. And you know what? I could now all of a sudden, I'm reminded of like something I read somewhere that they talked about how his character in Sin City actually had like facial reconstructive surgery in the Sin City books. But they were making note of that to explain how, okay, so it'll make sense why Josh Brolin is playing him. So maybe he is going to play like maybe a cameo role of his character, and then something crazy happens, he gets shot in the face, and then all of a sudden he's remade and he's Josh Brolin. I don't know.
Why is
but
he doing
nothing
other
else.
Things?
Right, I don't know. Look, and I just, in under personal life, it's not like it, you know, he's also a supporter of Liverpool Football Club.
You think he's just become like a huge soccer hooligan?
That's it. Like that. So, yeah, I'm really curious what he's doing too, because
I hope he listens.
Yeah, I'm a Clive.
You know, gets a hold of us somehow because I'd like
tweet
to hear
this
from
at
him.
Tweet this. Yeah,
he might not even be on Twitter. You know, never know. A lot of celebrities don't have verified Twitter accounts, dude.
Do we have a spot for him in our Republican nomination movie? Can we find something for him to do in it?
Maybe like Tony Blair. maybe George W. Bush gives these guys his endorsement, and then Tony talks to Tony, and Tony comes over and gives them his endorsement.
Okay.
Or we could just have him be the British PM is now. Who is it? Cameron? David Cameron or something like that?
Yeah, as long as he's British, no one cares what they look like.
Right. No one cares if he's a real person, even.
No. Okay, well, that's a good one. I agree with that one. Well, my last slap and tickle, and to be honest, I'd be scared. I don't know if I'd ever. I think if I actually did try to slap and tickle this guy, I'd catch a baseball bat like right upside the head. You know, directly following me, tickling his chin.
Right.
Be like, whack, a baseball bat right to the side of the head, and that's to Robert De Niro.
I agree. He probably would hit you with a baseball.
You agree
bat.
That would be the response. I think I mentioned to you off air that yesterday went and watched Silver Linings Playbook.
Yeah.
And Robert De Niro is plays the dad. He plays, you know, what's his name's?
Bradley Cooper.
Bradley Cooper's father. And this is, it just felt so good because you were reminded of what I call him, you know,
Bob.
Bobby, you know, I call him Bobby. You're reminded of what Robert De Niro can bring to a movie. I mean, he was he was awesome. The whole movie was great. I loved this movie. Even Bradley Cooper, who kind of, you know, was like a little bit of a pretty boy, you know, before going into this. This movie knocked me out, and it was just it's probably the best De Niro movie I've seen, the best role that he's had since, like, Copland. Like, that's what I was going to ask you. Like, what's the last great Robert De Niro role that you've seen him play? I know I'm kind of asking
the
you
parents.
Spur the right. Like, that's what Michelle. That's what
the original, I guess. I mean, I don't really like those movies, but it was like I was like, oh, it's so funny, Robert De Niro doing this. So
right.
I guess that's
what, like, if that's what our generation is turning to, like, oh, I loved him in Meet the Parents, but he was awesome. I mean, he knocked it out. The whole movie was great. This is going to kind of lead into some of the things we're talking about, like what's coming up. Just look at this Oscar, you know, for the Academy Awards, Oscar actor in a supporting role. Alan Arkin from Argo, or kind of the grandpa, you know, from Little Miss Sunshine. Tommy Lee Jones in Lincoln. That Christoph Waltz dude from Django Unchained, who actually won the Golden Globe. PSH,
dude.
Our boy, Philip Seymour Hoffman, and Robert De Niro. I mean, talk about a stacked best supporting actor.
I'm pulling
category
for De Niro, dude. I'm sorry. I love all those guys, but, dude, I might have to see that movie just so I can watch Bob.
You do. Just for him alone. Like, it's worth it.
Well, I mean, I've heard it's a really good movie, so.
Yes. I mean, look, I'm going to go out there and say, and I was going to kind of, all right, you know, spoiler alert, one of the things on my radar is, oh, the Oscars, watching them. I've been trying to, you know, catch as many of the nominated movies as I can. You know, you and I went and saw Master. I've seen Lincoln,
well,
Zero
hold up,
Dark,
really
30.
Quick. The Master, the movie's not nominated.
It's not nominated for Best Picture, but PSH is nominated for
nominated.
Best Supporting Actor.
Right, and then right, Joaquin. But that's what I wanted to say, though. I just want to ask you really quick. That's not nominated, and we both like that movie, obviously. We thought it was really good.
Yes.
But you've seen quite a bit of movies this year. Would you say that those ones that are nominated above it, like Silver Linings Playbook, is it a lot better movie? Maybe not a lot better movie,
you know,
but is it clearly better in your eyes?
Okay, you're asking me, is Silver Linings Playbook better than The Master? Yeah.
Oh, see, that's...
And I mean, I love The Master.
Right, I really liked it, but I wouldn't be... It's not like I saw the movie and was like, this is the greatest, you know, I can't believe how good this movie is.
So. Because, you know, and you can tell, you know, it's hard to kind of compare some of these movies against themselves. Like, it's really hard to compare Zero Dark Thirty with Silver Linings Playbook, you know, just on face value, obviously. I think The Master kind of left you with, you were left to try and decide things, you know, make your own interpretation
of it. It didn't have a message. In the end, it really didn't have a message.
Right. Its message was that take this how you want. Yeah, I think, obviously,
its message was
to,
these two main characters are really weird guys, and let's just look at them. You know, basically, that's what it is. Different.
I think it speaks to the influence of charismatic individuals, especially when it comes to organized religion.
Right.
I think The Master felt more like a religious movie than anything else, even though it wasn't.
But it didn't have a point with it. It didn't have a, like, message related to it.
Right. You were left to decide on your own, what did that mean to me? Do you agree? Can we agree on that?
Yeah.
I mean, I think I left it. I think there was a message that I took from it, but I think I could write that on a piece of paper, and it'd be different from what you would write and from what John Z would write and 10 other people would write. You know, Silver Linings Playbook, you're right. You leave that movie with a feeling of you understand where these characters began. You understand
Right, okay.
what their backstory was, what made them tick, and there was a great resolution to these characters, and you were left yet with a you'd come full circle with these people. You're right.
Right.
The Masters don't do that.
And I mean, honestly, that makes a movie more enjoyable. You know what I mean?
Yes.
It makes it.
Oh my. You're right. There's no like questions afterwards. There's no like the movie doesn't end, and you're just like, well, wait, what the hell? What did that mean?
Right.
You know, you don't have that at all. I mean, what I've seen, and we'll just jump ahead and talk about, you know, I'm looking forward to the Oscars. I feel this is a really strong year for the Academy Awards. So far, I've seen Argo, Lincoln, Silver Linings Playbook, Zero Dark Thirty. I still think The Master should have been nominated for Best Picture. It wasn't. And I plan on seeing the Django Unchained. Until
The Hobbit's got to be nominated for some sort of makeup or graphics or something.
Special effects, yeah.
So you saw that too.
Yeah, which it is. I'll try and see where that's where that comes up. But
you'll look for honestly, that award listed on the bottom when it's scrolling down, scrolling the ones that aren't on camera.
You have to click next on the Oscar page to find it. I put Silver Linings Playbook. I mean, if when I watched the Golden Globes, I hadn't seen Silver Linings Playbook, and if it would have won for like Best Picture, if Bradley Cooper would have won for Best Actor, that's not going to happen. Poor Bradley Cooper, though, he really does knock it out of the park, and he has to go and do that in the 1 year of six where Daniel Day-Lewis does a role. You know?
Oh, I know.
You know, there's just, I feel bad for him. I would put Silver Linings Playbook right up at the top because you can leave it saying like one of four things. You can be, man, that De Niro just blew me away in that movie. You can be like, wow, Bradley Cooper really blew me away in that movie. You can leave it and think, you know, what's her name? Oh, Jennifer Lawrence. Oh, she, you know, she's a very attractive
right.
And she's awesome in it too. You can even leave that movie and say to yourself, man, Chris Tucker really blew me away in that movie.
Dude, I'm glad though. Good. I'm glad that there's been no one really good movie, but why do they have Chris Tucker? I'm glad that they're not even bringing him up. You know what I mean? Because you know that they were probably waiting to pounce on Chris Tucker. They were just waiting for it. You know what I mean?
I was so happy when I saw him. You see him really early on in the movie, and you know,
these film snobs today are just waiting to pounce on someone like Chris Tucker.
I was like, it's Chris Tucker. Shelly, that's Chris Tucker.
No, you said it was your favorite Chris Tucker movie.
Yep.
But was Chris Tucker's performance in this as good as it was as Smokey and Friday? Because I can't get behind that.
You're right. No, I did. I misspoke.
But it was better than Rush Hour in Rush Hour 2 and 3, right?
It was better than Rush Hour 3. Rush Hour 1 was probably my third favorite Chris Tucker movie. Which was the one that Drama was in? Was that Rush Hour 3?
I don't know. Or that he was trying to get in?
Was it?
At Ratner's
party. He was trying. Yeah. All right, let's not, you know, we kind of, this really kind of blew up in our face, but De Niro was awesome in it. You are definitely selective on the movies that you bless seeing in theaters. If you were, like, bouncing around Saginaw, like, around noon someday, you know, did a little shopping.
Is it rated R or PG-13?
Oh yeah, it's R.
Okay.
Oh, there's some.
Well, I was kind of hoping PG-13 because then I could just catch it, like leave work and go over there and watch it. That's something I never even thought of, but I've been working out in the mornings. Sorry to keep sidetracking this, but now I could just get out of work and just be like, screw it, dude. Already worked out this morning. Gonna go catch a movie or something.
Yeah.
So.
Yep. But so there's my. By Slap and Tickles. You have another one? Or?
Nope. I am all set with Slap and Tickles. I had a Steve Young stare, but I'm going to skip it. I don't want to go down that road.
We're doing real positive today.
But since you talked about that movie, you talked about something having Alan Arkin in it. I can't remember what it was.
Argo.
Okay. So that kind of leads me to something. This is something I just picked up that is coming out, and I never heard of it before, like last night. That's a movie called Stand Up Guys. Have you heard of this?
Oh, yes.
Starring Chris Walken and Al Pacino.
And Alan Arkin.
Yep. I was kind of disappointed when you said, yep, I call him Bobby, because I had in my notes to put with Chris Walken, I call him Chris, and now it would sound unoriginal. Even though you've said that before about De Niro and about other people. But, I just saw it last night, and, you know, I might consider it. Like I said, if I do kind of want to start going to theaters more and watch some of these movies too, even if they're not, even if I don't hear them real good. But I just found out about this, so I don't know if it's going to be horrible or good. I mean, you would think with Walken, Pacino, and Alan Arkin, it's got to be at least a reasonably good script, wouldn't you think so?
Here's what I can say, because this has kind of, it's been real faintly on my radar for a little bit. Like, I saw something about it online, like maybe on IGN for some reason they had like a preview for it, or watched the first trailer for Stand Up Guys with Al Pacino and Christopher Walken. Oh, it looks kind of interesting. And the first trailer I saw for it, I didn't really like it. But then, swear to God, yesterday before Silver Linings Playbook, they had a nice, like, 2.5, 3 minute,
oh, sweet,
real hardcore preview for it.
Nice.
And I was probably, beforehand, I was on the fence. I'm like, you know, I'm not going to, this is just another, you know, line of crap he's just kind of found himself in. But right, the preview I saw last night may look good. I still don't know for sure if I'll see it in theaters. I think if I did, I'd want to, like, you know, maybe you and I go watch it, you
right,
know,
or well, it's,
make kind of an, the preview I saw, the long one, made it look really good, like real serious. At first I thought it was going to be more of like a buddy comedy, which I still think it has some elements of that to it, but the preview I saw made it look a lot more hard and a lot more edgy and serious, and just a little bit more adult things were happening in the preview that I saw.
I was kind of, like I said, I saw a preview for it, and so I just really quick, I'm like, I want to look some information on this up really quick. And it was described, I wrote this right in my notes, as a crime comedy. So I don't really know, you know, I can't think of a quote-unquote crime comedy off the top of my head to compare it to or anything. Right. So, but I was like, well, that might, you know, in the previews I saw, like, it looked like they were having some good laughs together and kind of messing around, and I was like, yeah, it looks kind of different. And I don't know if Pacino, how many straight up like movies are mostly classified as comedy he's done. So I was like, well, that'll be kind of interesting. I'm sure that if he wants to, he can.
Are you saying his role in Jack and Jill shouldn't be that wasn't a role in a comedy?
I didn't know he was in Jack and Jill.
Yes.
Is that a comedy?
Himself. It was that stupid movie where Adam Sandler.
I know what
himself,
it is. That's what I'm saying. Was it a comedy? Did anybody laugh?
Horrible.
Did anybody laugh ever about that movie?
I just know it won a ton of Razzie Awards. So I haven't watched it, obviously.
So that was just a movie, like I said, just kind of popped up on my radar. It kind of caught my interest. Like I said, I don't know if I would see it. I would like to see some more trailers, maybe watch if they do like the Red Band trailer with it, check that out.
Yeah. Yep.
So
that's a good one though.
So you wanna share one?
Well, I touched on it, I won't go through it that much more, but the Oscars, you know, I'm definitely looking forward to those. I said I'm gonna try and catch the Django Unchained.
Dude, just and call then it right.
Probably. Well, unless, you know, there's
that's
some,
all you
know,
really wanted for me, for, right, is for me to react to it, like, get so tired of you saying it like that.
Well, I mean, unless you can show me some kind of evidence that the D is silent and I'm supposed to pronounce it some other way, I'm just going to keep on calling it Django. I was terrified at first because the first time my wife saw a preview for Les Mis, she's like, I have to see that. I'm like, I don't know if, you know, I don't do musicals.
Right.
And then since then, she's kind of unearthed. I think the hatred for Anne Hathaway's always been there, but it's really kind of been unearthed recently.
Yeah.
My wife just hates her. So I'm off the hook on that one. There were, you know, and a couple other movies that are at least up for Best Picture. Life of Pi, I'm not going to see that.
Oh, yeah.
Armour, no. And then Beasts of the Southern Wild, no.
Right.
So really, I was hoping to see Flight that Denzel was in, but I can't find that in theaters anymore. It might come out, you know, more. Maybe I could find it, you know, somewhere down in the greater Detroit metropolitan area. But really, I think after I see Django, I'll feel pretty good about the movies that I've seen will have. It's just more fun watching the Oscars when you're like, oh, yeah, I did like that one more. Ooh, I thought she was way better. You know, you can just kind of be quippy, be like a little, you know, high school girl. You have
someone to root for.
Right. So when it gets closer to it, I think I'd like to like throw something up on, you know, Worst Friends about my picks. I'd like to try and, you know, I'll probably end up maybe live tweeting or, you know, Facebook posts during it.
I want to do it.
Yeah, so I'm going to try and be pretty active about that and try and, you know, hype it up a little bit beforehand and see if we can't get some people, you know, commenting too on it while we're watching, or, you know, get some people watching it while I am and just have some fun with it. Seth MacFarlane's hosting it, which I think should be funny.
Well, you know, Seth MacFarlane's kind of the guy right now where everyone has to hate him. It's his turn. Yeah. It's his turn, just like it was Will Ferrell's turn. It got to be Jim Carrey's turn. Every funny person gets their turn, where it's like, oh, memo to everyone. It's the in thing now. It's to hate Seth MacFarlane. You know what I mean? It's just like, okay, I didn't think Ted was that funny, really. But it's like, oh, really? So now that means Family Guy's awful, and anything he's ever done's been terrible. It's like, shut up.
It seems like what everyone's trying to tell us is like, look, we're going to be hard on Seth MacFarlane because the members of the Academy, it's more of a highbrow, stuffy crowd. You know, he can't be up there, you know, making. But I mean, when you look at some of Family Guy's jokes, you can tell how some people would be a bit, you know, not everyone has a.
You know what? I hope that he kills it. That might be reason for me to watch and just to tweet about Seth MacFarlane and just hype it up and just fight for him. While we're on that topic, can I just get into my next thing on my radar? Or do you have more?
Yeah, for sure. No, okay. Well, I mean, I have some more, but yeah, go for
this. This is a movie I'm not going to see. I'm just going to say it. Jesus. Not in theaters, at least. But it's been something that since I first saw it probably 2 or 3 months ago, started hearing about it, that I just kind of been interested in seeing what it's all about. And that's movie 43, which is now should be called the infamous movie 43. So just really quick, without taking too much time, because I have a ton of stuff on this, what's like your impression of it? Should just not be made, put in the can, never to see the light of day?
When I first heard of it, I'm like, okay, this has got to be something decent if all these people are in it.
Right.
And then doesn't one of the Farrelly brothers do it?
Peter Farrelly.
Yes. And I have the utmost respect for him and his, you know, raunchy comedy. But then as I started seeing previews, like nothing in the previews were really making me laugh, which worried me. And then just today I read an IGN review about it, which basically called it the most horrible thing in the world. So that's kind of cemented,
okay,
at least in my mind, that I'm not going to watch it.
I'm just going to go and I'm going to try and kind of be neutral about it. But, and it's not even so much about the movie, but obviously, like I said, the critics are destroying it, and I'm not surprised. But recently, I was just on Twitter, and I saw someone retweeted from the Farrelly brothers with a P at the end, meaning from Peter. He tweeted, and it said something like, look, you know, the movie 43 is not the end of the world. This is a $6 million movie. We wanted to try something different. Back off. Which is kind of, I'm always, when people tweet stuff about, I don't know if I've ever really seen someone in the movies tweet something like that. So I didn't really know, you know what I mean, how to feel.
Like, come on, take it easy, guys.
Well, there was some situation a long time ago where Kevin Smith, I can't remember exactly what happened, but he apologized for making Mallrats during like some speech he was given. Said, I'm sorry for Mallrats. Okay. And I don't know what the hell he was thinking. And I think he later kind of backtracked on that. Because I love that movie.
Yeah.
But
yeah, I like it too.
Farrelly then tweeted, he said, to the critics, you always complain that Hollywood never does anything different. And then when it does, you flip out. And like I said, I'm kind of torn on this because I do feel like the movie, without going through all the actors and stuff, is a different concept. It's been done before, back in the day with Kentucky Fried Movie, which is, you know, the same sort of thing.
Okay.
And it does kind of look refreshing, you know. It's just a ridiculous comedy. You know, I think that there probably is critics, when they are thinking of comedy, they're putting too much emphasis on, like, this whole... And I know I always bash on stuff about being, like, hipsters and stuff, but I do think they put too much emphasis on this, like, kind of ironic thing where, oh, this is a comedy, but it didn't really make me laugh that much, so it was so great, you know what I mean?
Okay.
You know, and I kind of examples are, like, Moonrise Kingdom, even Louis, which I like Louis, I like the show Louis, I like the movie Moonrise Kingdom. They were both good. But anything that isn't like that, I think that critics for movies, when it comes to comedies, they say everything else is lowbrow. You know what I mean?
And, I mean, you're making a good case.
And I also think, too, that Louis and Moonrise Kingdom, and like I said, these are just two examples, and I like them both. They also have, like, children in them, and it's kind of children acting, like, closer to what real children look like than what you usually see in the movies.
Well, so now, what exactly, when you're bringing them up as examples, are you bringing them up as, because those are both critically acclaimed.
That's what I'm saying. Those are critically acclaimed, but even people have said, like, the best comedy on TV is Louis, but you don't laugh at it, and stuff like that. And I'm like, well,
okay.
First off, you do laugh at it, but second off, you know, it's not funnier than Always Sunny in Philadelphia. I don't care what anyone says. In this movie, okay. You know what I mean, so just kind of keep moving on. I think, like, these people critiquing it need to, like, watch it maybe a little differently. This is clearly meant to be, like, an odd, you know, rapid fire, off the wall, just laugh giver, to steal a term from the Workaholics episode. You know, it's going to be purposely offensive, it's going to be gross, it's going to be shock comedy. So that's... Go ahead.
What you've done is convince me that... You've convinced me to not all-out avoid it. So I won't do that. If it pops up, like, on HBO, Showtime, Cinemax...
Right.
To where it's free and it's just there, you know... You're right. I think the way it's set up...
Peter Farrelly didn't make this movie to compete against Moonrise Kingdom. You know what I mean? He wasn't doing that.
Yeah.
It was a $6 million movie. You know, so look at it like this. You know it's going to have some gross jokes. Is it going to be something different, or is it going to be like, oh, that guy's throwing up, so now I'm throwing up. Look, everyone's throwing up. Ha, 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 ha. You know what I mean? Is it going to, like, make an offensive joke that is like the stereotypical offensive jokes you always hear? Is it going to be something different? So, now... That being said, sorry to kind of flip this all the way around, I do kind of have an issue with this whole, let's just march all these people out here. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like Johnny Knoxville, Stifler, McLovin, Emma Stone, Kristen Bell, Jason Sudeikis, Justin Long. Those people, good. Have them in it. You know what I mean? Gerard Butler playing a gnome just to be an asshole. I can get behind that. But Richard Gere... Kate Winslet, Halle Berry, you know, Hugh Jackman. Freaking Kate Bosworth is a model. That's what her job is mainly now, a model. Uma Thurman. You know what I mean? That is a reason that kind of turns me off of it, is that are these bits going to be funny, or is it going to be, like, funny because, oh my God, did you just see what Halle Berry did? You know what I mean? Oh, I can't believe Richard Gere just did that.
That's what would be hard. That's why I think it would be hard, at least with the concept of the movies, that, like, you could tune in right away, you could see that it's on, jump in, and it be in one certain segment of one storyline, and if you don't find that humorous right off the bat, it's like, well, do I wait to see what the next kind of
bit
is and hope that's funny, or do I just bail on it right now? Or you could jump into it, like, one of the first or second storylines, it could crack you up. You're like, oh, this isn't that bad at all. And then totally be turned off by every little skit or segment from there. So it definitely, you're right. It is something different. That does kind of, that makes me sad that he, at least on Twitter, kind of jumped to defend it and to say, like, take it easy, guys, right off the bat, instead of just saying, like, you know, hey, F you. This is what right. we did, you know, enjoy, or we stand by what we made. This is something different. Right. And which yep. may be the case, maybe 10 years from now, we look back at it as, man, do you remember, maybe movies are more similar, or comedies are more similar to that than they are right now, or it's more appreciated down the road, and everyone was just, you know, all up and anal mm-hmm. about it early right. on. So,
and then, I have one more movie, and then I don't know if you have any other movies you're looking forward to or not.
Okay.
So this one I am going to see it in theaters. I've already made the decision. Can you take a guess what it is?
Bullet to the head.
Identity Thief.
Oh, wait, no. Identity Thief.
I mean, obviously, Jason Bateman. But also, mm-hmm. you know, it's got Melissa McCarthy in it. She was funny. She stole the show in Bridesmaids. No one can really dispute mm-hmm. that. I mean, besides for John Hamm. I mean, mm-hmm. and he didn't even have to say a word. But I was also thinking, too, I don't know if I've ever seen much identity theft-related comedy. The only thing I could think of was in Family Guy when James Woods stole Peter's identity and basically moved into the house and assumed his
took
life.
Took over his life.
Yep.
Yeah.
It does look like something different, too. It's got John Cho in it. So we've already established that, you know, if you're with John Cho in a movie, you've officially made it. So yeah, any Bateman doubters out there, it's you know, official. It also has Jon Favreau. He's always good. Amanda Peet, stepping back in the comedy world again, you know, like she did back in the great uh-huh. movie Saving Silverman. And it's yep. also got Morris Chestnut in it. I don't know.
Who the hell's that?
He's a really, really handsome-looking black guy, dude. I honestly don't know if I've ever seen him in anything in a long time, or if I've seen him in anything ever.
I know who you're talking about. That's his name?
Yeah.
Morris Chestnut?
Yep. It was also directed by Seth Gordon, who did Horrible Bosses, which was decent. Bateman was amazing in it, obviously.
Yeah.
So...
Can I tell you what this movie feels like? And again, I won't see it in theaters unless for some reason it's tied into, like, maybe, you know, some weekend where we're hanging out and it's, you know, part of a bigger picture. This movie reminds me...
Oh, I'm camping
me,
out, dude.
This movie reminds me of the movie Due Date.
Oh,
do you remember that movie?
Dude. Yeah, I
with
know
Downey
what
Jr.,
is.
Zach Galifianakis. It seems like that movie that's kind of a... Not a cash-in, but... A movie where a couple different people are really, you know, they're riding a wave. You know, Downey Jr. had, you know, Iron Man and some other things that he was doing.
Yeah, Galifianakis. Hangover was a huge star.
Had so Hangover. And it was kind of
Vegas.
Yeah, let's just do something. Let's cash in on it right now. You know, she's big off of Bridesmaids, and you know, he's got all of his things going. So I don't doubt that there will be funny parts, but for whatever reason, I ended up seeing Due Date in theaters.
Ooh.
I think I read the movie times wrong of something else we wanted to see, and that was playing. It's like, I guess we can go see Due Date. And just not being anywhere close to satisfied for paying the, you know, $8.50
Quick question.
For seeing.
Did Due Date star Jason Bateman?
I mean, look... You're right. I'm not going to... That's what it feels like to me. When I watch the previews, it feels like, you know, road trip. Oh, crazy road trip with
right.
two people that are...
It's got Stifler in it.
Yeah. You know, there's the bit in Due Date where they would go and, you know, hit the...
Oh, I thought you were talking about the actual pot. Movie Road Trip, like as that was a cash-in movie.
No, what are you talking about?
It's got
about?
Tom Green in it.
So, I hope the best for it, because you're right. I like both of them. You know, I'm all in on Bateman. But that's just what it feels like to me.
Well,
it feels like Due Date.
If I see it in theaters and it's really funny, it'll be good to watch it on DVD. We can one yeah. time when we're hanging out, we'll throw her on. And if it's horrible, yeah. then I'm gonna have to reassess my favorite actor situation. And I'm just Not ready to do that. Do you want to now talk some TV, dude?
Yeah, because I mean, when you brought up this, you know, hey, let's talk about what's coming up. I mean, really, I just kind of threw down on my notes Game of Thrones, obviously, Mad Men, April, what, 7th?
Yep.
Which will be perfect because we just found out, I just found out that apparently season 5's been on DVD for like 6 months. So I'm going to go pick that up because I'm a season behind. You know, I, as opposed to what you do, I actually go, you know, season 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, you know, in logical, chronological order. So I'm gonna knock out season 5 here over the next month and a half, and that's coming up. So obviously those are the big ones. I mean, did you have, what else you got?
Yeah, obviously, Mad Men. I can't wait to get to spend an hour with Jon Hamm every week. It's like a
And the first one's gonna be like two
dream come
hours.
true. Oh God.
The first episode, you see that? It's like a
Yeah,
movie.
I
They're like
know,
movie
dude.
length first episode.
That
It's
is
like
awesome.
whoo-hoo-hoo-hoo.
I left those out though because they are a little further down the line. The one I put, actually, this was recommended to us on the Worst Friends Facebook page by our friend KT. The Walking Dead, February 10th, and I kid you not, that one was like completely out of my mind. These mid-season breaks, I think, are a bad idea, dude, because like I completely forgot about it until he brought it up. But I'm happy
You're
that
right. I
it's,
mean, I didn't put it down. Yeah, I didn't. You're right. It wasn't down on my list, but I kind of. You're right. I was thinking. I think a little bit more down the road. I'm on IGN.com all the time, so every other day there's you know, new screenshots from season 3.5 of Walking Dead. You know, there
Yeah.
it's big on with you know with the nerds. So, I mean, if we're talking about what we're really excited, you know, we've discussed our. Wouldn't call it lukewarm. I mean, we both enjoy The Walking Dead.
Yeah.
You know, but here's the question, okay? If on Sunday night at 9 o'clock, at the same time, if Mad Men's on and then on a different channel, Walking Dead is on, what are you watching? You know, what's getting DVR'd and what are you watching right away?
Oh, Mad Men, hands down.
Exactly. Okay. Game of Thrones is on at 9 o'clock on
Oh,
HBO.
dude.
Walking Dead's on.
Don't even play
Right,
games with
so
that one.
yeah. So, I mean, I'm looking forward
I'm
to it,
not
but I
gonna
mean, they
lie.
really.
I would, if it was Sunday night, I would watch Game of Thrones and DVR Mad Men, because Game of Thrones is on HBO and there's no commercials.
That's true. Yeah, that's. It would be hard. I guess it'd really depend on what was going on with the storylines, you know. If someone's on the chopping block, you know, and Sir Ilan's about ready to take their head off, you know, and you got to find out.
In Game of Thrones, someone's always on the chopping block.
I guess there's always a chance someone's gonna lose
They are in Mad Men
their head
too,
or
though, let's
something.
be honest.
Yeah.
Draper
Oh
can
yeah.
end anybody, anytime, anywhere.
Yep.
But you are
With his
right.
mind.
Those are both obviously would get priority above Walking Dead, but at the same time, you know you're gonna be watching Walking Dead every week. You're
Oh
gonna
yeah.
be
Yep.
looking for Hardwick's little hashtags that he shares.
I tried listening to a Nerdist podcast episode last night. It was the one with that who's that guy from the roast, kind of that young skinny guy.
Anthony
I went back
Jeselnik.
like a yeah. I started listening to it. I didn't stop listening to it because oh I'm not digging this. I started doing something else. I just
Right.
wanted to. I'd ran through all the recent BS reports that I could listen to.
Right.
So I'm trying to reach out.
Yeah. All right, I have two other TV shows that are coming up in the relatively near future. I'll start out with the
Okay.
first one because you're probably not as excited about this or following it as much as I am. But that is Marin on IFC, Mark Marin's show. Now he's getting on
Oh, I didn't
IFC.
even know he.
Yep. I think it premieres this spring. For some reason, I was thinking that it was next Wednesday, January 30th, but you never know with these things.
What's the synopsis?
Well, we've kind of talked before about having a Worst Friends animated series and kind of playing it off like the podcast topics and stuff, and that's kind of what this looks like. Almost like the Seinfeld type thing where it showed Jerry doing
Course
stand-up.
he's.
this has Marin doing the podcast.
Our
and,
idea.
And oh, I don't really? Know if the story revolves around what he talks about, so I'm looking forward to it, though.
It's on IFC. Do you get IFC?
Yeah.
You do? Okay. Yeah, I'll watch it. Remind me when it's on. You
yeah.
Know.
It.
I think that's a, you know, like I said, we talked about having an animated series of us, but it was either us or did we decide to just combine ourselves into one character because then we
yeah,
had, like,
we were just going to combine it. And you said his name could be Tim, too, for the record.
Yeah, we'll give you Tim. Because it was my idea, naturally. But then, you know, we're trying to develop a struggling, you know, podcast. We're trying to do a podcast, and every episode would intertwine us sitting down with, or me, you, sitting down with one of our guests. Either, who do we have? We had Lil Buddy.
Yep. Our comically small friend.
Lil Buddy was our comically small, but still mischievous friend.
Oh, yeah.
And then Skake, equally mischievous, but a little bit more cerebral and cunning.
And
best
plump.
Way to describe him. A little plump.
And then we
and
also
then
had the tapeworm.
Just a tapeworm.
It, you know, paying tribute to Seth MacFarlane with the talking animals, we are going to have a talking tapeworm.
Which, I still, in my head, I think this is a good idea, but in my head, I tried to picture what it's going to look like and have it not looking like a penis. You know?
what does a tapeworm really look like? Like tape?
Right. How are we going to have, you know, and try to avoid Googling images of tapeworms on
yeah,
my work laptop, you know? And how are we going to have it look, have a mouth and eyes and not look like just a penis?
Right.
So. But that's cool. So, Marin, so when did you say it's coming on? You said you had the date wrong, though.
I thought it was January 30th, but now I think from what I've been reading that it's further down in the spring, March or something
okay.
like that.
Okay.
But I have seen commercials for it on IFC, so. But, okay. Yep, that was the one that, like I said, I don't know if you were aware of it. And then the other one is Community, which I'm sure that you have at least been keeping a little bit of an eye on.
Community. So, yeah, when is it actually coming back? It's on Fridays now, but when?
Well, I thought that they were moving it back to Thursday again. Now, that's what I thought. The last thing I saw.
You talk
said.
About. You start talking about. I'm gonna look it up because I've been meaning to. Because I thought it was still on Fridays. I didn't want to miss it. Premieres February 7th. Yeah, Thursday at 8:00. Okay.
Cool. Because so, I couldn't find the date either. Like I said, I thought it was. I'm glad that it's February 7th because I thought that I had read again that it had been pushed back to the spring now. So I'm glad that they've got a date. They're going to do it.
Yep.
Just let it play out. If people don't watch,
yes.
Do what you have to do. You know what I mean? But just give me this last season to enjoy. Not last season,
like,
but just give me this next season and let me enjoy it.
Yeah, bring it back.
Just put
yes.
it on TV. Quit playing
One
these freaking games
could
with
happen.
It.
Why do you think it will be as outlandish? I guess let me break this up into two questions. Do you think it will drastically change from what it was near its tail end with the previous showrunner?
It's hard to say. What I've seen so far for the previews for the first one is a Hunger Games parody. Have you caught up
yes.
on that? Now,
yes.
At first glance, you can say, well, that makes perfect sense. You know, it's Community. Every once in a while, they do these parodies. And then on the other hand, Hunger Games, something that's huge, mainstream, isn't so much what they would usually, you know, satirize.
Parody. Yeah.
They had, like, the Civil War, Ken Burns Civil War parody. You know what I mean? Something a little bit less mainstream, a little bit less recent than Hunger
right.
Games. But, again, it still has these same characters. I don't think that it's these quirky characters that people weren't watching. So we're still going to have cocky Jeff Winger. We're still going to have, you know, crazy Abed and stupid Troy and, you know, liberal hippie Britta. And hopefully they still have breast-bearing Annie. They're going to have Annie, but breast-bearing Annie.
Yeah. No, she needs to have cleavage. Well, here's my second question. Then. Do you think if... I loved the way it was,
mm-hmm.
and I was kind of upset when the original showrunner got the boot. But I think
Are you saying that because you don't want to say his name or you can't remember?
Is it Dan Harmon?
Yeah. Yep.
Who's Mark Harmon?
Mark Harmon was the coolest guy ever. He's on some detective show now.
He's NCIS. That's
Summer
Mark
School
Harmon.
Is what he's best known for. Peter Griffin. I mean, he's the picture of him from Summer School is the coolest guy ever.
He's the best looking, best actor of all time. Yep. Dan Harmon was the original showrunner. I was upset when they gave him the boot because, I don't know, as someone with absolutely no ties to, the creative process in Hollywood, that angered me that, they would muscle someone out who was just trying to be original.
Right.
But if it still does, for the most part, what it was doing before, just kind of almost a cartoonish nature to it.
Mm-hmm.
If it still does that and it still cracks me up, I'll be fine with it. But if I notice a significant drop in, the quality of laughs,
right,
I'll kind of be right away. It'll be easy to just point, well, they shouldn't have muscled them out. And then at that point, do you think that the internet will immediately turn on? I'm worried that the show will, that it'll hurt the show because of what the powers that be did to it, and none of the fans will like it anymore. Oh, they ruined it, and we'll lose community for good because of something that maybe could have been avoided. Like, what do you see happening when it comes back, if you had to bet on it?
Well, I don't think, firing the showrunner is going to all of a sudden bring in this huge new audience. That's the weirdest thing to me, is that if that's what they're going for, to bring in a huge new audience, I think they would have to dramatically change the show. And like I said, it doesn't, from what I've heard and seen, it doesn't look like it, has really altered everything to where it's going to be a completely different product. I mean, the promos have pictures of Dean Pelton, just with shirtless greased men next to him, and I think dressed in women's clothing. You know what I mean? It's still pretty, from what I've seen, it looks pretty outlandish still. So
okay,
maybe doing a parody of the Hunger Games, although maybe I don't find it funnier, maybe it might help it. I don't know. I'm with you though. I wish they would have kept the same guy. It's hard for me to believe that there's someone out there. I never watched Community, but they got rid of the showrunner, so I'm gonna give it a chance now and see if I like it. It just seems so unrealistic to me.
I'm guessing the ratings were never through the roof, and if for some reason they believe that the move that they were making, you're right, increased the ratings. Mm-hmm. I don't see how that's a logical jump that you could make.
Right.
But you're right. I'm gonna watch it. I'm glad it's on Thursdays. When it was on Fridays, I was like, oh, I'm just gonna DVR it and then watch it, when I want to. But if it's on Thursdays, that's good.
It's different if a show like The Killing, just use that as an example. For some reason, they're making a third season. I didn't watch the second. I'm not going to watch the third. It's different if it's a show like that where it's pretty much, established that it's not a good show. You know what I mean? It's been pretty much put out there. The show is not good. Yet, seems like it's still a lot of people watch it, which is probably the reason they're bringing it back. So if they change
it... They're not bringing it back. It's canceled. What are you talking about?
They have a third season coming out. You haven't heard of this either?
I'm bringing up the Killing.
I'm pretty sure I've seen Andy Greenwald tweet this, and I treat what he says as reliable information.
I respect Greenwald as well. Last I heard, I thought it was done. Hold on, I'm bringing up the...
And he also, really quick while you're looking it up, I tweeted to him what he thought of that show, The Americans, on FX, which is about Cold War era communists living in the U.S. I asked him what he thought of it, and he said he loves it, so I'm probably going to give that a shot. He tweeted back.
It's got Felicity in it. You're right. I apologize. Announced on July 27th, it would not be renewed. However, on January 15th, AMC and Fox News announced it had been renewed for 12 episodes. Oh, so now, because I watched the second
just
season.
Just cut ties with it, dude.
I toughed through it. I did the whole thing. And I love Skidway McNulty in it. You liked him too, didn't you?
Yeah, I don't have a problem with him.
The detective. I can't deal with this right now. This was a big curveball you threw my way.
Okay, sorry.
It wasn't even tied into.
Well, no, I was saying like you know, if they changed the showrunner there, and you like you said, you watched the first two seasons, maybe didn't really, like you said, it was an afterthought. But if you saw some headline that said, The Killing picked up again for season three, so and so's out as showrunner, so and so's in, and you look maybe see what they've done. I'm like, yeah, maybe it'll turn around. But this, it's like, the people who were watching it, diehard loved the show. The critics loved Community. The fans loved Community. Yep. Now they're saying, well, let's fire the showrunner, get all these people to that haven't watched it to watch it. And like I was saying with The Killing, it's people who already watched it who are going to say, screw it, I'm done with it, that might stick around. This one's not going to draw new people in. So that's my thoughts on Community. I'm looking forward to it still.
I see you, big fella.
All right. So is there anything else that you got, you've been thinking about checking out?
Were you done? I thought you had one more thing you wanted to,
I don't have any more TV shows. I'm just asking now, anything in general.
We don't really need to go. This can be a topic for another time. I'm going to try and see some Red Wings games. You know, NHL season got started back up again here. Abbreviated season. I find that of all of the some of the major sports I've been to, as far as cheap tickets come, with cheap tickets at a hockey game, you still usually get a really, really good in-person experience. You know, you can pay the least amount for having get the most bang for your buck. So I'm hoping pretty soon here, maybe the next week or two, our friend, the Tapeworm, I think, might hit a Red Wings game with me. So that was really just kind of, you know, coming up shortly here. So that was really about it.
Okay. Well, there's one other thing. It's I've just kind of caught wind of it, and I'm seriously considering it. It's the Traverse City Winter Comedy Arts Festival. It's hosted and organized by Michael Moore. So,
really?
You know, it's got that going for it. But I started doing some research on it. It's February 14th through 17th, and my brother lives in Charlevoix, which is still a little bit of a drive to Traverse City, but not horrible. Obviously closer than where I'm at. And some of the people on it that popped out to me were Neil Brennan, co-creator of The Chappelle Show.
Oh, he's going to be there?
Yeah. Comedian Todd Barry, which if you saw him, you'd know him. He's kind of like an ugly, bald guy. Okay. This is my best way to describe him, but I've seen him on TV before. Really funny. Susie Essman from Curb Your Enthusiasm fame. And her husband from the same show, Jeff Garlin. JB Smoove.
I'll only go with
while we're on topic.
You can tell my dogs are really excited, but that's just because my dog Kima's trying to tell me that Robert Wool might be there.
Yep, Arliss. also, TJ Miller. Have you ever seen Our Idiot Brother?
Yes.
Okay, TJ Miller is the new boyfriend of the organic farm girl. He's going to be there. And then also another one that Pete Holmes, I don't know if you know who he is. He's the voice of the E-Trade baby on the commercials.
I didn't know that. He was the...
But he's a pretty, you know, kind of up-and-comer and staying up right now. And he's got a podcast I've listened to a few times, but not a ton, so...
So Jeff Garland's going to be there?
Yeah, and Pete Holmes is another one I might want to check out. So I'm going to have to really, though, do a little bit of research, see when, who's playing where and when. And, you know, I would have to figure it out. Maybe go down there and watch some shows just on Friday or just on Saturday or something. I would have to figure it out. But that's something, like I said, I just kind of caught wind of it. And seems like it would be, especially if you lived in Traverse City, I mean, that just seems like it'd be an all-around awesome weekend. Also, Doug Benson's awesome. Going to be there too, I think.
So, oh wow, is he?
Yep. So a pretty good lineup of people, you know, around the town.
And oh heck yeah!
This could also work as a slap and tickle to Michael Moore and the city of Traverse City too for having something like this go on.
So, putting this together.
Yep. But that,
we'll have to look into that. We'll have to,
That's about all I had for the podcast. That I say like it's, you know, got done so early. It's about an hour and 15 minutes. Yeah,
right.
You know,
no.
Just Easy come, easy go.
Yeah, I think we covered some ground. That's good.
So, I guess without further ado, you can sing me a song and I'll say goodbye.
I always gotta... You have to get the song going, like, in your head before you can...
Did I say meat and taters this podcast? I've really been trying to make a point to always run down going to be the meat and taters of the podcast.
Meat and taters. So. French fried potatoes. All right. God, how is it? How's the West Wing theme go?
The outro theme? All right, everybody. That wraps up episode 31 of the Worst Friends Podcast. Follow us on Twitter at Worst Friends Pod. Look us up on Facebook. And you guys stay sexy. Take her sleazy. Nee, 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 nee.